All right, good afternoon. How many of y'all awake? Good. Three. Great. Okay, well, I'd like to continue this awesome day of prayer, and thank you so much for just obeying, you know, all up nice and cozy, socially distant. Wow, way to go. All right, but it's been good. It's been good. And if you haven't been impacted yet, your wood might be wet, you know? It's like, how do you start a fire with wet wood, right? If God's going to, you know, actually impact you, you got to be ready and willing and open. And so we can't sit here as a fuddy-dud waiting for God to strike us with lightning. How about just be willing for God to impact you? So today, or this afternoon, we're going to be focused on testimonies and praise and just witnessing of all that God is. And I would encourage you in this. We're going to have a couple of moments of testimony when we're going to bring the mic to you, okay? And you get to testify of God's goodness. But what I would encourage you to do is to not look back 77 years ago. I remember when God did this in my life. What about last week? What about, let's intro with this. During this pandemic, God has done some awesome things in my life. And let's see how God is, how good he is during what is crazy in our lives. How he's that source of rest and peace in the midst of our lives. So this is that service that we get to focus on that. And then later on, we're going to have a popcorn prayer, and I'll explain that a little bit later. But our live stream is going to end for that. So if you're worried about people is going to be hearing you pray, don't worry about that. Okay, but a popcorn prayer is kind of like popcorn popping in the microwave, where it pop, 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 pop. And it's just going to be different people. Whoever wants to praise God during this prayer, just say it. Say it. Say it. One right after another. We don't have to go in order, evens and odds, or anything like that. It's just a prayer testifying of God's goodness. And so, you know, you don't have to wait for all the men to get done first. Just, you know, it's just let's praise God, okay? Let's testify of his goodness and thank him for what he's done, okay? So I just want to initialize that out for you to be able to see what we're going to be doing. But I just, again, want to thank you for being a part of this, not being scared of prayer. Sometimes when people say, let's have a day of prayer, some people are like, I'm out. I'm out. I say, why? Why? What did they do all throughout Acts? With the early church, when the most growth seemed to be, what did they do? They prayed. They came together. They prayed. They fasted. They went to the God who could do it all. When he wanted to do it. How he wanted to do it. And that's what we're trying to do today. So thank you so much. I'm so thankful for you being able to do this. So we're going to go to our first passage here. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 10 should be up on the screen for you there. I'm going to read this. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. It's a either or. It's an either or. Many sorrows to the wicked, but those who trust in the Lord shall be surrounded, overwhelmed with God's mercy. Anybody been overwhelmed by God's mercy? And you say, what's God's mercy? Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So, well, what do I deserve? Free education. No, we're not going down that route, right? What do we deserve? Hell. Damnation. Eternal punishment. Fire and brimstone. And yet, For some odd reason, we're still here, correct? We're still present. We're still breathing. And he gives it. He surrounds us. We are overwhelmed by his mercy. Overwhelmed by it. So think about this. We're going to have some testimonies right now. Tim Sloan is going to be bringing around a mic for you. If you would like to testify of God's goodness, we got Mindy back here, then he'll bring that to you. He'll hand it off to you. And then you get to testify of God's goodness here this afternoon.
I just want to say how awesome God is for our day of prayer. I've actually been reading in Acts this week and have been very excited about how they go to God in prayer and how this stuff just happens and God opens the doors. And also have been able to get with a couple of different ladies on different times to pray and how much prayer works and just how exciting that is. So thank you.
Amen. That's good. It's good. Anybody else? It's good. Oh, up top. Yeah, Carlton. I'm not going to forget you. We'll go Carlton and then Larry.
In the midst of what's been going on, and I'm not referring to the pandemic, I'm talking about the racial strife. Like many Americans, people that look like me, I've felt the same way they did. I've been angry, been bitter. And thing is, the one feeling I didn't have that they did was fear. See, I don't know why, but God has placed me in a place where the color of my skin doesn't matter.
Mm. Amen.
So I want you to know the church matters.
Amen.
And when I walk through these doors, all I feel is love. Mm. And that's what made the difference for me.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Larry.
Well, you talked about a week ago or so. How about in the past 24 hours? I mean, the Lord, that you gave me a burden in the past 24 hours. And I was at home the other night, and I went through my middle room, and I'm going through some old albums that I got, and I came across one, the Hall Sisters, from back when I was in Tennessee Temple University. And I was just listening to that album, and all the time I was listening to it, I was just thinking, Lord, I want to be a better prayer warrior. I want to be a better servant. I want to love you more, Lord. I just want to be closer to you, Lord. I mean, in the past 24 hours, it seems like this burden. I knew the day of prayer was coming. I think the Lord's just preparing me. So I can testify again. I love this church. And I love the Lord. I just want to be a better servant.
Amen. That's good. That's good. In preparation for day of prayer, did any of you feel what I stated last Sunday night, that God was preparing you for this day? All of a sudden, things started coming up, and he was just getting you ready for what was to happen. And sometimes we're prepping and planning our week, and then he says, you got a different plan this week. Your focus is going to be different. And that's been us for this week. But God's been so good all throughout it. Thank you, Larry. And another one? Yes, Olin.
I'm a missionary evangelist with Bible Open Air Mission, and I've not been able to be on the road raising support, and so it's been a really challenge. My wife used to say, honey, we don't have any problems, we have challenges, and I like that. So I had a part-time job driving for Chevrolet, a couple of Chevrolet companies, picking up cars and new cars and trucks around the country, and that was a part-time job, but I've not been able to find anything like that. So I had come up to about $2,500 that I was behind in bills, and I didn't panic, and I just began to pray, Father, I pray for faith to trust you. He had already provided about 500, just incredible. The monies came in. And so Monday, I was really just overwhelmed with the burden of so far behind. And I even did something I don't normally do. I just went and lay down for a while. The Bible said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest." One of the greatest discoveries for all of us is to learn that He is Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. He is the God that will provide. Not until you're faced with having no money and to pay your bills do you really understand what prayer is. Now, I'm not holding up my hand that I'm the big prayer guy. But I got up and I went to my phone and I was checking some of my messages. And our secretary out in Plainfield, New Jersey, texted me and said, "Olin, I've been meaning to tell you that you have $5,000 in your emergency fund." I just stood there and looked and looked. And that was over $8,000 that God has brought in. We get so used to having money in the bank or in our savings and our CDs. What would you do if you had no money? What will you do in down the road in COVID-19 if there would be a crash of our economy? God will not crash. Yeah. That's why this day is very important. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. That's good. Praise God. He provides. Amen. Pastor,
yes.
He's got a mic.
Being something we don't deserve since March, I guess I would have to say I still have a job. Some people can't say that. Some people have been struggling, and God hasn't made me go through that. Also, I would say our church has done phenomenally well through this last 4 or 5 months. Financially, yes, but also in many other ways, it's just done very well, and so I just praise God for that.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Sure. I hope he's got his calorie counter on.
For the peace He has given us. We have someone close to us in our life that they have a really hard time with this COVID, and they believe that our governor is the most wonderful thing in the whole world, and they had a lot of issues with even some of our beliefs and our son and his wife's beliefs. And but God gave, I prayed for compassion, because when someone gets that irritating, I want to strike back. And yesterday, the Lord really gave me some compassion for that person, because when I looked at this person, I'm thinking they really don't have any hope for their future. No wonder they're dependent on everybody else. And I am just so grateful for the peace He's given me and Joe in this time, that there's just no way you can be thankful enough.
Amen.
That's peace good. Is awesome.
Yeah,
that's right.
Have you thought about Armin's next? Have you thought about if you were to try to walk this path through all that's been going on without God? I can't imagine. It's totally different. Armin.
Brought me through it, and everything's okay.
Amen.
Everything's okay.
Amen. COVID free. Praise the Lord. And then right when you got your negative result, you went out for an hour bike ride? Amen. That's how he celebrates. All right, right up here.
I just want to thank the Lord for letting me wake up and have another day with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's great.
That's huge, isn't it? Mm. That's huge. Waking up, having another day. David.
To go back 77 years, how about 72?
Okay, we'll let it go.
I bring that up because I was started out my life in Iowa. I ended up out east and come back here to the Midwest. And you know, folks, in all those years, I have never wanted for a good fundamental church. And I found one here in Grace. And I thank the Lord for that privilege. During this COVID outbreak and pandemic, we've gotten more of our missionaries communicating with us email. And as I've read those emails, how many of them are literally in the middle of a desert of spirituality where they may be the only fundamental church around? Mm. And here in America, even with all of the pandemic and all of the crisis that is going on, we are still able to meet together in a good fundamental church. Wow. This week, as we've been focusing on prayer, just by happenstance, yesterday morning, I turned on my television to listen to an evangelist that I've come to appreciate very much, and it just so happened his message yesterday was on how to worship God in prayer. And one of the points that he made was a new one to me. As many years as I've been listening to the Word of God, he made the comment, sheep were never intended to be burden bearers. He said, you never go and find a pack sheep. You always find a pack mule or a pack horse or a camel or something, but never a sheep. But God refers to us as sheep, and he is our shepherd. And he said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, because he didn't intend you to be a burden bearer. So, folks, I was challenged by that, because so often I've gone to God in prayer, gotten up from my prayer, and walked away with a burden still on my heart. And God didn't want that. And he made another statement when he was sharing those truths. He said, if you leave your prayer closet with your burden still on your heart, you haven't prayed, you've griped. If you still have the burden on your heart, you haven't prayed, you've griped. And I like that. God intends for us to leave our burdens with him.
Amen. That's good. You know, sheep have gotten a negative connotation during all of this pandemic, because I've seen a lot of posts out there, people coming and telling me, well, everybody's just acting like sheep and following everything that's going on and losing all their rights. And I'm thinking, I've been classified as a sheep before this pandemic started, and I don't see that as negative, because I've got a good shepherd, and I'm just going to keep following him. You know, and just that's the awesome part about it. So, and yes, sheep that can carry their burdens to their shepherd and take care of it. So just different thought process. All right, I'm gonna hold off on any more testimonies right now. Pastor's going to get his chance to come up and do some more in a little bit. But I just wanted to give a praise, because you got to think of the good things in the midst of the crisis, right? So we were excited for Riley to get back into school. She loves school. And we were excited because, you know, Troy and Riley are going to be in the same class. So that's cool. Then this remote education came going through, and I'm thinking, come on, seriously. What in the world? And I thought, this kept coming back to me. We have been praying for the Word of God to get back into schools for how many years? How many years have we complained about the education system And yet all of a sudden, as parents, we get to be parents and educate our children with the Word of God. Whoa. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this, the church can be a light. You remember back in the day when the church was the place you went? And if there was a Christmas program, everybody from a 30-mile distance came. Because that was their you know, movie theater for the weekend, you know? Then all of a sudden, movie theaters started showing up, and then everybody else was going everywhere, and sports started getting involved and all this stuff. So then the church, instead of being the beacon on the hill, it kind of been, you know, the back alley, you know, thing in the midst of the community, right? Then all of a sudden, this pandemic hits, and guess what we get to become again? A beacon on a hill. Because we're forced to think of unique ways in order to serve. Unique ways to reach out where people have needs, where the government cannot provide. It is absolutely impossible. And so when we finally get this opportunity, praise God. Are we doing anything about it? That's the key. Are we going to rise up and be the beacon on the hill? So that's my praise. And hopefully we can move farther into that and testify of God's goodness. But I wanted to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And this is up on the screen. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Has anybody ever felt that before? Did anybody remember getting a spanking when they were a kid? Did you enjoy that? Didn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." When God is interacting with our lives, and so many times we see chastening as only a negative punishment, we only see it as the grievous side of things. "Oh, God's spanking me again. All right, I'm in trouble." Or is it just that God's caring about me again? How exciting. And sometimes it's a little bit painful, and yet God can use that to wake me up to where I don't experience a bigger pain in other realms. Like, I would rather teach my child to respect authority than for my child to not respect authority and get pulled away by authority and put into prison somewhere, right? So I'd rather the little, you know, chastening on the backside. Are you getting a parenting course today? Than for them to experience something later on down the road that's even worse. God does the same thing. Sometimes he's doing a wake-up call in our lives so that it'll guard us from what could be worse in the future. So sometimes our new normal seems to be grievous. And yet, is our new normal, some of you are angry at me for saying this, but then you realize why. What if our new normal yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby? Anybody thought about that before? That's where we get to testify of God's goodness. We're going to sing a song, "Wonderful, Merciful Savior." This is a good song. If you don't know it, just listen to the words and try to sing it as Jason leads. "Wonderful, Merciful Savior."
All right, please stand with us as we sing "Wonderful, Merciful Savior" this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Please be seated.
In our Bibles, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, it says there, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." If you're familiar with that part of Genesis, I mean, that's winding the book down. We're coming to the end of the account of Joseph. And we've been able to see Joseph's life from beginning to end. We see all the stuff that he had to go through. But then we also see at the end where he says to his brothers, "You meant it to be bad, but God meant it for good." We have those moments in our lives, don't we? And when we're able to look back and see those moments, we can certainly give praise and thanksgiving for that. When I look back at like my times in ministry and those times when every pastor experiences these moments where you're done. You just want to quit and go do something else that has nothing to do with people, okay? And not you, because you're all my favorites. I'm just saying. I know Pastor Taylor, he's had those moments. I'm sure Olin has had those moments as well. And yet, like we prayed earlier in our morning service, endurance, you just stick with it. I have a reference on a post-it note. It's nothing fancy. I just scribbled it and stuck it on my screen on my desk. It's been there for a while. And that psalm summarized says this: God is for me. What else do you need, right? If you know God is for you. And certainly we all have moments like that. As a pastor of this church, Pastor Taylor kind of earlier directed our attention to this last 4 or 5 months. What was the purpose of all this? No, not what was, what is, because we're still in it, okay? Is it ever going to go back to normal? Maybe. Maybe not. Perhaps it'll never go back to the way it was. What do we do then? Right now, we have to be careful that we're not waiting for it to go back, because that might not be God's plan. So instead of waiting for it to go back to what it might not be, we just need to continue moving forward with what it is. And that's a praise that I have, that this church has done that. Some churches, I heard of one last week, they still haven't opened since March. Wow, we are so blessed, aren't we? And every church, I think, goes through these moments too, but our church has been through bouts of discord, disunity. We don't like it. And as I look back at the time that God took us through and opened our eyes and helped us to learn about not just discord, but seeds of discord. And we each searched to remove those from our lives. Wouldn't you agree with me that right now our church is so unified? And we don't even agree on the mask issue. And that's okay. But for some churches, that's not okay. And they're divided. And yet God, I think, allowed us to go through these moments in the past, just like he did Joseph, preparing for what he had coming. Just putting the pieces in place. As we looked at last Sunday night, the providence of God. We've been so blessed here for that. And as Pastor Taylor mentioned, you know, for decades, we've been, as Christians, well, there's no Bible in the schools. Well, now the school's in your home. Stop complaining and put the Bible in your school, right? What an opportunity that God has given to us that have been upset about no Bibles being in schools. Perfect. What a blessing. And when I look at our church and the good that has come of this 4 months of differentness, okay, we have reached over 1,000 people every week with our online presence. Never did that before this. Never. Over 1,000 that their face on their screen is connecting with something that we're putting out there. That is huge. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for how God takes something that we don't like, and he means it for good. Remember what I said earlier. He doesn't always grant us what's good, but he does give us what's best. And I had read this. It was Charles Stanley, one of his life principles. He says, fight all your battles on your knees, and you'll win every time. Let's open it up for some testimonies right now of how you have seen in your life, and I'm not going to restrict it just to the last 4 months. Maybe not 72 years back, but Bev over there. Bev wants to go first, and just some way where you have seen how God took something bad and he meant it for good.
I'll go back 53 years, but okay, with a message for today. 53 years ago, I was sitting in a neighbor's kitchen having a cup of tea, and I confessed to her that I had this really weird feeling that I was searching for something, but had no idea what it was. And she got real excited, and she said, I know what you're looking for. I know where you can find it. Come to church with me Sunday. Now, I'd been going to church for years, but I kept pestering her. What is it I'm going to find? What are you talking about? She said, I can't tell you. You got to go to church. You got to trust me. I just can't tell you what it is. So I went to church, and for the first time, I heard the salvation message being preached. And immediately, the emptiness was gone. I knew what I'd found, and I went forward. And so basically what I want to say, if you haven't memorized scripture and you're afraid of saying a prayer, just invite them to church.
Amen. Amen. Over there with Delbert. And who would like to go next? It has to be someone on this side so Tim can rush back.
Well, I want to thank the Lord and praise him because my son's car broke down. Now, that may sound kind of silly, but let me give you a little background on that. A week and a half or so ago, we left on vacation, and in order to, all of us, 11 of us, plus my daughter-in-law's parents, there were 13 of us, we were taking four cars. But my son David and his son, Cole, they had to stay behind because he had a baseball game to go to. So they were coming up later. Well, we received word from David that his headlights weren't working. And at that time, it was kind of rainy out. And we thought, oh, my goodness, how's he going to travel 6 hours on the road in a car that may not have headlights? So he worked to get it fixed. And we thought, Lord, you know, please be with him and give him a safe trip and help his car to work properly. And we, excuse me, we were all praying, you know, that the Lord would watch over him. And we were able to keep tabs on him where he was, and we knew he was going to come in about 9:30. It was this Monday night, or when was this? Sunday night. Okay, going to come in about 9:30 at night, and so we saw he's getting closer and closer. So we all went down to the driveway and kind of welcomed him, clapping and everything. We were praising the Lord because here he's coming in safely, made it safely. His car worked okay. And then, well, we still had the trip home. And so another 6 hours home. So Lord helped us to get home. Well, he did. The Lord was gracious and good. We had a nice, safe trip home. But today, his car broke down. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He was home and safely, and this was the time for it to break down. And he said it only has 217,000 miles on it, so, you know, go figure.
What? Maybe that would still fall under the Lemon Law? I don't know. It seems kind of young. Some new, yeah. Someone else.
I just like to praise the Lord for all of his teachings. And just the last few years we've been here at Grace, the Lord has taught more to me in those few years than ever before. And this is a small blessing maybe to y'all, but I struggled to put my daddy and mom on the prayer list. Because anytime I would ever do that before, it was put on a list, and that was it. Nobody said or asked any more about it. To me, I didn't know if they were praying or not. The first time it was put on the prayer list, I can't believe how many people, and I want to thank y'all for coming and saying, hey, how's your parents? That told me you were praying people, yeah, and that you really follow God, and that really spoke to my heart that we're home. This is our home. And just so many things, like with the masks thing the last 4 months, you know, I've been angry. I've been on the other side of it, that I've been angry about losing our rights and stuff. And the Lord kept telling me, you always tell your children to learn to fight, but learn to fight right. Not like the rioters, not like everybody else, but learn to fight like God wants you to fight. And even today, talking to Jeannie, it was like the Lord opened my eyes more about it. We're not losing our rights. He's learning, teaching us to fight. Do all you can do. Stand. God will bless it. And, you know, Brother Dave, you talked about sheep. And it reminded me a few years ago, the Lord brought on Facebook, of all things, you know. I was scrolling along, and there was a thing about sheep. And you know when it says that he anoints his sheep? That's a real thing. Shepherds anointed their sheep's head with oil because there's a worm that crawls up into their nostrils. And eventually, if that insect lays its eggs in its head, and I know this is gross, that sheep will bash its head against the fence or whatever and kill itself. And that's the worm of worry, worm of hate, worm of just worry. And the Lord says he anoints his sheep with the word of God. And I just thank him for all the godly examples, all the relationships, in the greatest relationship between God and me. And I grew up in a church that was Pharisaical. Do this. Never why. Why? Never get into the Word of God and show me why. And in the last few years, I just thank him for that relationship that's grown and keeps growing.
Do we have one more? Two more. Let's do Sharon, David, and Linda. Two.
When Lester and I were hunting for a church family, and we had it in our heads, we would visit different churches. We'd visit Grace for a couple of times. Then we'd go visit another one. We never left.
Amen.
I knew this is where God wanted us to be. God's whole word was preached. And you guys, I've got to tell you how much I appreciate hearing God's Amen. True word preached every Sunday. That's a blessing in itself. The people here were so amazing. And we're still home. We're not searching. So okay. That's been a blessing to us.
David?
I'm going to struggle. I want to thank church for for praying for my sister. Yeah. We almost lost her a couple different times. She's doing miraculously better. Still got a long road to go. I know a lot of folks have been asking where my folks are. They're trying to keep their distance for the safety of her.
Yeah.
And that, just continue to pray for them, pray for my mother especially. She's right there trying to be her cheerleader. And that, and we just want to thank the church for all the prayers and the blessings you guys are to us. Thank you.
All right. And then Linda.
Well, when all this COVID stuff came up, I'm like everybody else, you know, what is going on? We have to stay home from church. I didn't understand it, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And then, you know, I talked to the Lord about it, and he told me, well, you know, my plan is always what's best, and this is his plan. So still don't like it, but, you know, I go along with it. But a couple of things that really helped me was the time when the college and career class passed out those baggies, and it had, for us old people, it had a CD in there from the Stewarts.
Yep.
And especially the song that the kids sing, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It says something like, I don't remember all the words, when I get up in the morning, I'm praising you, and may I be singing when the sun goes down.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Tim. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Why am I reading this right now? Sometimes things don't make sense. And all of our reasonings frustrate us because we still can't figure it out. Remember, we this morning in Sunday school, or the morning service, truth. Truth, okay? We go to truth. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Let's look at the next one. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That verse tells us there is nothing that falls outside of the realm of God's mind. Nothing. The things that we can't make sense out of, even if it's a personal issue or a work issue or a health issue, it doesn't fall outside of God's understanding of it and even having an answer for it. Part of his plan, in fact. What a blessing it is to know that our God's mind, his thoughts, his judgments, his decisions are just past our understanding. We can trust in that. We're going to have Jason come, if he would. He's going to lead us in another congregational song.
Please stand again with me as we sing, There is a Redeemer. Maybe I should go a little bit slower so our instrumentalists can get up here in time.
Thank you.
First, I want to just give thanks for your testimonies, just because I'm starting to sense a theme. If I was without God, I don't know where I'd be. But if I was without my church, I still don't know where I'd be. And that sense of that community that he's given for us to actually come and be a part of is such a blessing. What racks my brain, and see, it's hard for us to understand some of these things, right? Because what racks our brains is why would so many find every excuse to stay away from the community that God's given? And it's probably just because they haven't tasted true community. They might come up to the trough, but never eat. Or scared of what it looks like. Or it might have the wrong texture. And yet God gives us himself and the church. I think that's a huge blessing. I've been thankful over this crazy couple of months for flexibility and the people that are just rising to the occasion, our church, just ready to go. All right, we're going to do VBS online. We've never seen it done before. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know. But sign me up. Sure. I'm not sure what to sign you up for yet, but let's do it. And yet, what did God do with VBS? He used a tool that normally used one way, and we used it a totally different way, and yet we still reached out to so many kids. About the same number as what we did in person, except for we reached down into Mississippi and over into Iowa and up into Wisconsin and who knows where else we reached into. Yeah, that's God. That's God. I'm thankful for Mr. Rusty Miller, who's jumped in, and I think I could say this right now, right? He's been Rusty the intern during this pandemic. And no, I did not send him to go check out all the lost and found underwear at Camp Assurance. I was very tempted. I didn't want him to get COVID. But he's been a super blessing, and it's been wonderful to have somebody just here and ready and willing to do whatever and to be humble being able to receive teaching. There's a lot of people that want to learn, but they're never ready to receive. And he was somebody totally different. Why? Because he knows the call of God in his life. And so this past week was his last week, and I don't know what I'm going to do without Rusty the intern, but we'll figure it out. But he's going to be going back to school and learning more about what God has for him right now, not next, right now. So I'm praising the Lord that he gave this opportunity. And yeah, we kept going back and saying, Rusty, this is not normal. Like, I understand, you know, but we still got it done. And it was such a blessing. But I'm also thankful for Pastor and Kathy. I don't know if you know this, but in a couple of days, it'll be 7 years for them this time. And I'm just thankful that I've got a pastor that is ready and willing to receive me at any point. As many annoying questions as I have for him, and yet he's always, okay, come on in, yeah. And he lets me sit down and get counsel. But yet Kathy is the same way. And she's going to hate me for this, for bringing her out in attention. But well, you gotta give God thanks for what he does give us. And the great leadership and the great love that they have for my wife and I, and how they've always been here. I mean, I keep thinking back, what would I do at Dayton Center during this time? Well, you know, I'm glad I got Pastor to do all that and I can just follow along. And it's just a blessing to be able to be a part of this. And so we've taken a lot of time just to give God thanks for this. We've got a couple of more verses and then we'll have our popcorn prayer. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, it says, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." And you jump down to 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Just kept thinking of this verse. Simply put, we are because of God. We are because of God. And we get to praise him for that. We're here because of him. We live, we breathe, we move because of him. At this point, we're going to shut off the live stream. Thank you for those that have been involved with that.